Okay, so I started the recording. Welcome to today's use case realization call for May 22nd. Ron Key will be presenting. Just dismiss this. We'll be presenting today for the edge automation. And I'll stop sharing. Go ahead.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thank you. So from my side, so one thing then we were talking about is whether the a convergence has happened on the architectural proposals, right? So essentially around the edge management orchestration, unfortunately still not. So basically we are at the place where we converged on the requirements with the architecture committee. We had one proposal led by AT&T, presented. This is specifically Vijay. And then another proposal from Mike, more on the cloud native side. We made some progress, but we have not completed the analysis yet. So it would take almost a couple of weeks to get that sorted out and then have some presentations in the architecture subcommittee. What I could do here is just quickly go over the requirements in summary. Would that be of interest? Or
yeah, definitely. I think it would also be good for just to also maybe spend a little bit of time for people who might be new as well, who wants to learn more about, the overall use case and maybe, the certainly what you presented at the architecture call, that was great. And maybe a little bit more background in addition would be nice as well.
Sure. Okay, perfect. I am going to share my screen. Are you able to see my screen?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, excellent. So essentially, how this work started was from an edge perspective, we were looking at, what do we need to do with respect to ONAP. What we said was essentially, need to look at two aspects. One is, edge is different from standard data center. It's much more distributed and with some interesting infrastructure profiles and variations, right, around high performance and, high throughput, low latency, and interesting requirements, both from the application side and also from the infrastructure side, and also overall from the scale perspective and the nature of distribution. So basically, from distributed data centers from different sizes, from, it could be as small as just a single server, where it could be a customer on-prem, right? A very small enterprise, maybe a branch office managed by telcos, to, pretty much a large central office, a few racks, right, of servers. So with that, essentially we broke it down to management and manage. By management, what they're really saying is, are there any ONAP components needed in the edge? And also, not just ONAP, but also third-party applications supported by ONAP. As an example, one of the key use cases we found was essentially analytics is a key area, where essentially one of the key problems we are solving is essentially be able to summarize the data in the edge and then propagate only meaningful summaries towards the core. this not just solves the bandwidth problem from edge to core, but also sets the stage for, you know, further closed loop action in the edge towards realizing low latency applications. This is a precursor to that. And what we said was this is on the management side, and also on the managed side, because we have been doing some work around how we can model the edge locations. So for example, you know, in the case of OpenStack, what we said was each edge location, you know, we can map it to an existing availability zone construct, and that way we can get some work moving on being able to place BNFs in a specific edge location. For example, for 5G, one of the key requirements is we need to place the, you know, 5G RAN CU in a specific location, right? You know, not, of course, there is also some cases we need the flexibility to place the CU in an in a metropolitan area network somewhere in one of the DCs, but also for very stringent low latency applications, you need specific placement in a specific edge data center. So then this availability zone construct helps. So with this categorization, we moved on to deep diving further on the managed portion, because that's of, sorry, the management portion, that's of very high interest to ONAP. You know, while from the managed front, we have been systematically already progressing, and then you know, take it forward there in a separate path. With that, we created a task force for the distributed management components, and that is this work which has been progressing very well. So. So essentially we started off with, you know, I know Fred is here. Thanks for, you know, helping us, really making this happen. He was instrumental in first, hey, I talked about the analytics use cases and others. So basically first is defining what use case and what is the problem statement, right? You know, what are we solving in the edge? And with that, so once we got that going, thanks to, Fred and, you know, and also Vodafone and AT&T played a key role. Vodafone, Davide, and AT&T, Vimal. So with these key folks and key companies, we got the effort moving. And then what we said was, hey, we really need to dive deeper into the requirements, right? So basically, not just look at them at a high level, but have some detailed requirements. Though we have, I mean, arguably we have some sort of existing solutions. I wouldn't say anything complete, like the DCA controller supports some limited distributed management. But we said, hey, let's look at, take a fresh look, start from the requirement space, and then map out the solution options. And that's sort of this here, like very, very detailed. You know, I think there's a great team effort. I really need to thank Srini from Intel, then Mike from Amdocs, and then Vijay from AT&T towards, you know, driving this to making this happen. And so basically, as you can see, then along with the requirements, we added two solution options. One was, you know, leveraging the existing DCAE orchestration and controller, which is a combination of both cloud native and also, you know, leveraging the existing OM task. This is more for legacy applications. And option three was essentially basically go for a completely cloud native ecosystem. And this perfectly aligns with what we have in OM for you know, central management conference, as you very well know. It's all completely Kubernetes managed by OOM. And last but not least, on the left, you see option one, where we also looked at, hey, Can we leverage the same workflows for managed and management? Interestingly enough, there are very few differences. But he felt it could lead to additional complexities given where we are in ONAP. And we said we can worry about that later. So basically, let's do this and then see if there's opportunity to converge. We went through the journey. Then after we did a detailed analysis, then essentially what we did was we really summarized them into some sort of key requirements.
So hold on 1 second. So basically, let me just recap a little bit. So I think the edge automation is a lot about three things, right? One is that there is a core, let's say a core and then an edge deployments. And two, it's about managing and using those combinations of things with various applications, such as analytics, like you mentioned, such as 5G RAN placement, right? And then three, I think you're looking at the evolution of that in an architectural sense with the first two, right? So you have a structure of some core deployments and edge deployments. You're using them essentially, and then you're evolving them. Is that kind of a good?
Yeah, certainly.
What you're talking about.
What I would like to stress is that it's really a distributed edge with different capacities and capabilities. It's not one type of edge, which often people think that, hey, there is only edge can be modeled one way, but interestingly not. There are different categories of edge locations, and that's where the complexity comes, right? So, but yeah, well described then, yeah.
And so those different categories are captured or programmed and coordinated and seen and visible and known by the center, the central, so either some, either ONAP or a umbrella ONAP?
Exactly. So that's sort of what I wanted to quickly go through, the summarized requirements. So basically, if you really see one of the key aspects, in the summarized requirements we wanted to drive was consolidated view of deployment, managed component microservices in central and all edge locations. So basically, imagine there are different types of edge locations and your analytics application is, as an example, distributed across all these locations, right? So then you want to have a consolidated view.
I see.
Right. Maybe I can flash the picture, so that would help. Give me a second. I need to see. It's very, everything is there in the wiki. I'm just trying to find the right one. I'm trying to find. Okay, I think this is reasonable. Yeah, we can just use this. This depicts, for example, how the components are distributed right across the edge. But you should imagine that, hey, this is not just one level. There could be multiple levels because, different types of edges we are talking about, right? Small, medium, large. And one thing we learned in this journey was that detail is operator specific. Different operators will have different configurations and the types of edges. So you should be very flexible in your design. You cannot come back and say, hey, I'll have only three levels in the edge or two levels in the edge. Don't make any assumptions. It should be very generic. And the other aspect was we were not trying to jump directly into the anything to do with hierarchy. We are just doing completely only the tackle a distribution problem. That means all the distributed components are all communicating to just directly to ONAP Central. So for example, hey, you're doing analytics and summary, you're communicating that information back to ONAP Central. Likewise, if you're offloading closed loop, you're communicating back to ONAP Central. There is no, we're not talking here an edge orchestrator. That we said was
second phase, you know, if at all. Once we do this and are successful, then let's look at that part. So essentially,
for a second. So some questions that people might have, and I've heard you talk about as well before. So I see that some things are colored in orange and others are in the blue. And I think it might be also useful just to say some words about what things are spread around. Like take ANEI, for instance, is there a central ANEI and do those edge ones have a different ANEI, or say onboarding, resource onboarding and pre-onboarding, do you resource just into the main thing and others are using it, or say SDC service creation, you create in one place and it's used by others, that kind of thing.
So that's the part when we are letting it be driven by the use case. So we're not prescriptive on saying that, hey, we need to have A and AI or something in the edge, because it's totally dependent on the use case. For example, if you're saying analytics, then you don't need A and AI in the edge. You don't care, right? All you're doing is basically doing some analytics offload in the edge. But for if you're doing perhaps closed loop, then you may need some sort of A and AI in the edge. So that's the part I was talking about, the flexibility of deployment you need. You know, so basically, you should be able to craft any persona you want and then make the deployment happen. It should not be that, hey, you allow only certain combinations, right? And so that's totally possible with our, as an example, our OM Kubernetes design. You can literally turn any component on or off, right, in the package you're building.
Mm-hmm. And if you say, suppose you have an AI, let's take ANEI as an example. Suppose you have that in a on the edge, and you have it in the core as well. Is there some syncing in those gray arrows between those two? Is that the consolidated view of a master ANEI, or do they just have their
We haven't gotten to, for example, the specific details of ANEI. So but in generally directionally, right now, the way we are thinking about is we are not thinking about hierarchical orchestration. So that means that the A and AI, if there is any in the edge, will be more of a cache, right? So basically, there's a central repository, but we have a cache in the edge for, you know, performance speed up, right? That's it. Because we are not talking hierarchical orchestration, and we're still considering the central as the primary source of truth. So for policies and everything. So this is more of just, an executor on the edge, right? An offload component.
I see.
That's the way we're viewing it right now.
Okay, thanks.
So essentially, just along the view of the central, the consolidated view and with this offload point of view, then what we said was we also need something like a design flow integration, which excludes basic ONAP components, because what we're saying is the basic components have to be up before we do anything with the edge. But this is more of saying, hey, the requirement is, one argument is, if you just use the current Helm chart approach, you know, everything is possible, but this is sort of more of the SDC GUI integration, the design flow, how you can, basically just like deploying, VNFs today, how we can leverage it for doing a distributed edge deployment of the management components, including third-party applications. And same goes with the control loop flow integration, same thing, and again, what we did was, one conscious effort was map this into some sort of near-term requirements and long-term requirements. And thanks, Fred and several operators, for helping us drive there. Because while we had some fantastic requirements, then we need to go execute them, right? Rather than saying, hey, tackle everything, a phased approach. And this is a near-term set of requirements. And basically, even the clamp Tasker support, we said, hey, we need to have it even in the near term because for supporting legacy applications. And with that, then while we start off with this near-term view, then what we said was in the long term, we need to have everything, the whole solution. And basically what we added here was we went through some of these. So one of the key areas was essentially converging on a central edge, same config mechanism. What we said was when we started off, you could have different configuration mechanisms for, for different applications, because some of the applications are using console, even if they're cloud native, right? So different variations. What we said was we need to have one for, Helm management apps, and then the Tosca management. Only that part could be different, but we need to really converge, right, on the approach. Basically, one for Tosca, one for cloud native, right? It can't be that cloud native has different config mechanism in terms of data stores that becomes too complex to manage. With that, then the key driver for that was like to facilitate policy and DMAP integration. That integration becomes super simple, right? Once we achieve this. So then also the control loop flow integration was considered a long-term requirement. So basically we start off with analytics offload to the edge, where then essentially the thought process is offload the entire control loop or the closed loop to the edge, right? This is because it's long-term, it's still a thought process. We have to go a long way in laying out what exactly the components are needed on the edge to realize it. To Ben, to your point, this is sort of where we said, hey, and AI, things are a cache, but even the policy would be sort of a cached copy. But we really need to, lay out the details and looking forward to participation on that, what all needs to be done on the edge, especially for this.
So is there also some form of syncing mechanism between the edge and the central core?
Yes. So basically, we have thought through the configuration syncing mechanism, at least the in the cloud native landscape. We're going to leverage K8S operator framework to drive that. That we have a clear thought process.
And also, how do you determine when you need to offload something? Does something come into the central core and then it says, this is better handled in the edge, or vice versa? Something comes into the edge and it says, goes to the central and say, I need help, find me a more appropriate edge.
So for, in this case, we are talking management components, right? So at least our view is like, let's start small and simple. Mm-hmm. So what we're going through is some sort of dimensioning exercise, right? Operators will start off saying, hey, here is my edge deployment and topology. Here's how things are going to look like. And then they also know at that point what are the type of applications they want to deliver through edge, right? So, whether it is ultra low latency like AR, VR, or, standard applications, just CDN, which is bandwidth offload. So with that in mind, the next is essentially they lay out and say, hey, to deliver these applications, you would need probably, do XYZ in the edge. For example, you need to do analytics so frequently to realize that application, right, or use case. So then based on that, you go back and say, hey, I will need to have analytics offload in these edge locations, right, with this capacity, right? So during the capacity planning stage. And we use that that part is out of scope of ONAP, but what we're expecting is the operators to say, hey, here are the specific edge locations you want to deploy this analytics management application, and we go about it.
So essentially, a service writer kind of predicts the topology that he needs based on the things that he's expecting things to happen in the system. So there's a little bit of anticipation in the design of the edge and the core, so that so that that sort of offloading doesn't necessarily happen dynamically. It happens in a designed fashion. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. For in this case of management components, the slight variation for managed, it would be everything is more dynamic. So basically, you're instantiating those workloads on the edge dynamically, and then associating with one of the existing managed, associating yourself. So basically, you bind yourself to an existing analytics offload application on the edge and leverage it. Correct. But there is also interestingly a slight variation to it. So basically, where even the management components could be construed very dynamic, and then you could be deploying it pretty dynamically. But in that case, it almost begs an argument whether it is, you know, you can call it managed also. It's a gray area whether you want to call it managed or management. But the typical management application deployment model is all pre-deployed and ready for you and, you know, good to go. And then the workloads, managed applications get deployed dynamically and then leverage them.
Okay, thanks.
Excellent. So the last point I wanted to touch about was the point number 8, the non-K8s cloud support, where we said basically, let's just start small. Again, just start with K8s. All the management components are all running on K8s, start there. But in the long term, you also see some requirements around some legacy applications in VM form factor. And as you very well know, K8s, is slowly working towards VM support. And more importantly, the interesting part, even if K8s does so, there is ton of existing applications running on OpenStack or other type of clouds, right? Or classic VMware. So there's a take that we do need to continue supporting them. That's a non-K8s cloud support in the long term. Yeah.
And, I noticed. I also noticed.
I am done with.
I also noticed you added a couple of things in the central management from the short term or whatever the near term to the long term. The it looks like the central edge configuration mechanism and the policy and DMAP integration, I think, were the two new components that. So you're basically saying that there's an evolution in those two things that aren't there initially at first, right?
Correct. Yeah, we went to the. Yeah, exactly. The config mechanism and the DMAP policy integration. Yeah, exactly. And both are actually hand in glove. The second one, the third one is actually the DMAP integration is a primary driver we see for, you know, same config. Makes it a lot easier.
Does that also mean that the messages coming into, you know, DMAP, data movement as a platform, handles internal messaging essentially between platform components, and is there any movement of events or notifications or things between?
So, in the case, what would happen is the edge. So basically, leave alone DMAP for a second. So DMAP at the heart of it is Kafka, right? So the edge applications are directly talking to Kafka or DMAP. They're publishing an event which is consumed directly by the other ONAP components in central, right? You're not doing additional brokering because all of them are connected on the same DMAP or Kafka bus. As an example, you're publishing an event from the edge, and you just take any component can just take it right there, right, without any problem.
So it's a pub sub architecture, but the publisher could be in the edge and the subscriber can be in the core, right? Or
exactly, yeah. And Kafka works beautifully over WAN. So the Kafka broker is still central. The clients can be completely distributed over WAN, and we're just leveraging it. Yeah.
So that would mean also the DMAP topics on the edge, do they need to be coordinated with the ones that are in the central? Or I guess there's a UID or something that makes them all unique so that you can.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. The UID will help differentiate. Exactly.
And there's also for DR, the data router, I guess there's a similar like a 24-hour management thing where you can, it tries to deliver for 24 hours to either from the edge to the core or vice versa. I guess that just crosses seamlessly as well, you think?
I probably think so. Basically, when we did this analysis, we said DMAP is just a little bit of extra icing on top of Kafka. If Kafka can, I think the DMAP one really came from Kafka. Kafka can buffer for 24 hours, I guess. So, you know, so it's totally possible. We can buffer the data in the edge. You know, literally if the edge gets disconnected, you know, that buffer can help there, right? Of course, it needs more memory, but it's totally possible. Yeah.
I see. Okay. And I think one of your, from what I've heard, it sounds like one of the main ways you envision this to be used is to offload some analytics. So there's a lot of, say, number crunching maybe that needs to be done that's basically offloaded to the edge. And the results, I guess, are returned to the core for action. Is that kind of how you're viewing things? As one application.
That's what we see is that's one of the very good use cases for the edge, very crisp, and also not just crisp, but also easy to execute, right? I mean, our goal is to really start there, and then, you know, as we make progress, start driving the other use cases.
Yeah.
So closed loop is also a good use case, but it just needs more work, right? And then if we start saying we're going to start with closed loop, implementation is going to take way too long and not go anywhere. But analytics is a foundation for closed loop, by the way. So
one of my understandings, and I'm pretty familiar with 5G, of just when I hear the edge, right, is that, you know, with the URLLC requirement in 5G, you know, that you want to bring computation closer to the end user to achieve sub-millisecond latency, because, you know, there can be up to millisecond latency up to the core. So, you know, the one of the kind of edge cases or applications is achieving your computational stuff at the edge before it goes to the core. For one of the, you know, for example, URLLC, ultra reliable low latency communications requirements in 5G. That's one of the things that I typically hear related to edge architectures and topologies. Do you think that plays a role in this of this use case?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, when URLLC, if you dive deeper, right, so basically you will need closed loop in the edge. Correct, for sure. Because you can't stand the latency of communication to the central, and that's definitely where this proposal can help. But as a starting point, we don't want to jump there, because the easiest starting point is analytics. If you realize it, then that's anyway a fundamental requirement for realizing the closed loop for URLLC, right?
Right. Okay. And the architecture presentation you made almost a month ago now. What was the main thrust for that again? What was the update that was happening?
Oh no! So basically, we were converging on the multiple proposals. Like I said, the proposal which is right off from day one backward compatible. The other is like starting cloud native with heading to backward compatibility. So those are the two proposals. We just need to complete the analysis on both the proposals and then come back to the architecture committee. We'll probably do so in the next couple of weeks, right?
Right.
And see where things are. And one of the goals we're trying to do is there's also work happening on the workload front in multi-cloud effort. So basically, cloud native deployment of managed workloads, right? Across not just central, but also across edge. We want to make sure that this effort is also coordinated. As you can see, there is a ton of commonality. We want to draw the synergies. But that's also a work in progress.
Okay. And can you say some words about multi-tenancy? Is there anything there that's really relevant to your use case?
So multi-tenancy is key, and it's factored in, right? In all this, automatically factored in. So basically, that requirement is absolutely there and will continue for Edge. Edge is not driving any new multi-tenancy requirement, let me put it that way, right? But whatever multi-tenancy requirements exist hold true for Edge, and we'll continue adhering to them.
Okay, great. Okay, and does anybody have any questions for Ramki? Okay, Ramki, if you could, you have a link to the slides somewhere, or?
Oh yeah, certainly. I can send you this one, and also that specific slide. I will find the link and send you shortly.
That'd be great.
It's just that it's somewhere hiding.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the link to the wiki page, and I'll also send the link to the slide.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I will copy that in. I have...
Thank you, Ben. Thank you all.
Yeah. I think I already have this in the thing. Let me see. Is this the page? I think I already have this page.
This is the page, yes.
Yeah, this is the page you just put in chat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I already linked that into the notes here. So I took a few notes from what you said on this page. You can correct any inaccuracies that you see. There's a table of presentations we've made. Okay, thanks, Ramki. So let's move on to some of the other topics. On Monday's call, I presented the business drivers for a few of the use cases. And a couple of people like I see here, like Oscar, for example, is on the call as well. So Ala wants all of the use cases to have business-oriented drivers. And as a team, we kind of crafted this template. So if you are working a use case, you can go to this wiki page and make this a level 2 heading and copy these this template, which is based on, you know, like a business plan. So the 7 points of a business plan, an executive summary, a brief description of the what, describing the business impact, why this is important, the business markets where it could be deployed and what it applies to, the funding requirements and financial impacts, and then operational management and sales strategy. Okay, so I think Joanna was there too. So a number of people were on that call from Monday's call, and I think that will serve as input into analyzing the use cases that'll be taken up in Frankfurt, and also just new people coming into ONAP to get a better understanding of the use cases and why they're important. And I think it was also, Ala mentioned it was, I think, being asked by the EUAG. So that is a kind of ongoing effort. We had also on the Thursday 5G calls, we've been going into each one of our 5G use cases and, filling in these things. So you can see in some of them, you can read or get examples from reading some of the use cases that have been updated. Okay, let me just update this so I don't lose my work. Okay, so a tool, I see a tool is on the call. A tool you're good to present next week?
Well, next week, Ella just emailed me saying we will discuss this in the CISTA event, because I'm also the representative of EUAG, because I'm the one who is running those calls.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-hour workshop that she has planned. I think in the CISTA event a couple of weeks from now. So
face-to-face event. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So and plus, you know, that idea has been slightly getting modified because we are having some chats with Fred and some of the colleagues from Bell as well. So I think it'll probably be better if I do that in CSTA. I think by that time, I have more. More
after the face to face. Yeah, sure. Okay. So that would be 12, 19th, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 19th. So that's fine.
Let me put you down on the 19th. Okay, and I also mentioned, because right now that use case is probably more, I'm not sure, but it sounds like it's probably more broad than just 5G. But we have it in the 5G page because I think that's where it got added initially from whatever. And I think it's more applicable than just 5G, you might want to move it up to the general use case page. Up here at this level. If you think it's just specifically for 5G, you can keep it here. Just so you're aware of that.
Yeah. No, I think this will probably morph slightly more based on the conversation we are having over the last few weeks with some of the other service providers. I think it'll take us a couple of iterations to categorize this appropriately, but I think we should be able to do that by June. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I just want you to be aware. And you know, the Monday a la use case call also discusses, that's a place probably to propose completely brand new use cases. This forum is more sort of technical discussions to make the use cases turn into reality, right? So to understand the details about use cases and stuff. That's why this brand new use case would be nice to understand from a technical standpoint what it's more about. So I think that might be a good focus for the presentation a few weeks from now. Okay. Let me see. So the business drivers Ala had been asked for from UEG and other places, I think, to add sort of a business driver to a lot of use cases, so we've been doing that. I think the R5 now is now it's been agreed that R5 will be a maintenance release. So I think a lot of the project teams are now discussing the content of R5. I'm on a number of project calls every week, and a lot of the discussion now is what should go into R5. So for example, the SDC team is going over a list of Jira tickets. Jimmy Forsyth and the ANA call just before this one is also analyzing the content of R5, but also teams are starting to think about R6 as well. There's some advanced lead time pre-M0, which M0 starts in June 13th, which is just around the corner. And you can already see the proposed use cases in R6 are likely to be the ones that were originally aimed at R5. And there's a slightly lengthened time to do M0 and M1, but the same sort of steps that happen will happen in the next couple weeks. So, okay. So the next stage in R4 is RC2, I think is May 29. So let me see. RC2, I think, is mostly about integration. Least candidate 2, so nearing final draft for written content. So actually I am working with ONAP Marketing. I've had some meetings with ONAP Marketing to there's like a release paper that kind of is released to the public, and this public announcement that's made. There's a paper essentially that describes the maybe I can try to find a link to it. But basically there's a review of what is announced essentially about R4. So I'm helping define the wording of that and wordsmithing that release note. So that's one of the things that happens. It's happening now and will be released in a couple weeks from now. So let's see. So I think the documentation, I do know that some teams are also have been discussing the documentation updates. Again, for example, the SEC team, they have like, you know, 10, 15 doc JIRAs open to update things in documentation. So that's stuff that will happen at the near the end of R4 and also into R5. Okay. So the platform topics, these are all going to be R6 things. And so we have a little bit of time to talk about those, and I've already given unique dedicated presentations to I think every one of these. We have recordings on those. You can listen to the recordings that we had on presentations for those. okay, I just looked at the BBS use case and there's a couple of things that they're looking to work on in R6. Again, they're I was just on a call with Tim Carey not too long ago, and he's aware that there's upcoming R6 stuff, and that's in the planning. I'm meeting with Mark Hillis right after this call in like 15 minutes. So there's some evolution in the PM and FM stuff. 3GPP standards updates have happened, and I think it should be documented in here, but basically there will be some alignment to that, the 3GPP, things are happening and reviews, and what that'll mean is that new fields will be defined in these VES events, and there might be a opportunity actually to restructure some of the some of these VES fields. So for the FM data and PM data, there was a lot of new and very useful fields I felt that were kind of smashed all together into this additional information field, which with this alignment, there may be some restructuring to the VES event so that they have unique fields, which I think would be really good. That's probably one of the bigger things that's going to happen in our five or our six, probably our six. and then there's some minor things with the GUI updates, which might just fall in place if these get their own fields. Okay, so we've split up the PNF page and the 5G use case page. I talked about that a few weeks ago, but you can see in the use case R6 page that. That there are two separate, I see some people on the call that weren't on those other calls where we talked about that. So this is the base R6, this is the base use case page here. Let me put a link in the chat here to this so you can start digging around if you want to. So that's this today's call link, and from there you can click on the use cases in R5 and R6, which takes you to this page. Let me just make sure it's up to date. Yeah, okay. Allah updated it to say R6. So then from there you'll see there all the potential or currently proposed R6 use cases. And the two pages that I mentioned in that last point is that there's a set of PNF support use cases, which were originally in the R5, the R5 page, but Dala wanted us to split that off into its own page because it applies more than just R5. So there's the pre-onboarding onboarding page, the extensions, the R6 extensions there. Oscar is leading the NetConf evolution which started with a 5G use case, but will probably be broader, or some extensions happening in R6 there. And then plug and play carryovers and evolution. One of the big ones is the ANAI PNF name and PNF ID. Cleaning up there was a SO multi-endpoint issue that is looking to get resolved, I think, by R6. PNF software upgrade. Oscar was leading this use case, and I think they were trying to get NetConf working there. Oscar, do you want to say something about this? I don't know how much defined is here, but I would assume that you're working on the R6. R6 is trying to get NetConf in place, right? You see Oscar's on the call, right?
Amir. Sure. Adding NetConf as an option, it's one candidate for R6.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. If that can happen, I think that's probably one of the more significant things happening in R6 for PNF software upgrade. So the rollback API, I think, was the big thing in R4. Is there anything else for software upgrade that you think that people should know about that's kind of important? We see NetConf Yang models, update coverage analysis. So there's not too much detail here yet, but maybe...
One area where this use case might evolve as well is if it's will include more components in ONAP. Until now, it was mostly on the controller, but in a more complete upgrade might involve additional components.
And do you mean so we have, if you look at the view of the overview picture, here, you mean like PRH and ANI and DCAE, is that kind of what you mean, or?
ANI, SO,
that's all. So I think PNF software upgrades started with in Casablanca in R3, kind of like this, right? Mainly using an external controller to do software management, and then R4 it was just the a rollback API, and then. I think the original vision in R4 was this, but didn't get realized. So in R6, this will probably be more the view, right?
Yeah, I would say that would be a target when we see how much we
can actually be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe we can say like such as DCAE, PRH, and ANI, those are the other things in this picture, right? Okay, all right, great, thanks.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The question for here for the software upgrade, right? So when the device for NetConf between the SDNC or SDNR for the between, so are we going to use Ansible or use AppC, like the updated, you know, IP address? So in the currently for Dublin, they may not specify which one we're going to update the IP address if you go back to ANI.
So Oscar, I don't know if you have a view on that.
I'm sorry, I didn't fully get the question.
Hi, Oscar. The one we have basically is IP address update in the ANI for the software upgrade, right? For the, you know, any upgrade from vendor, right? So the controller for SDNC or AppC to reach out the PNF, right? So that right now, so in that thing use case, do we have any, we didn't specify which one going to do the IP address. So it is SNC, APC, or Ansible.
So in order to perform the upgrade, you need to provide the IP address either of the PNF itself, it's an upgrading, sending a request directly to the PNF, or if you're using an EMS, then you would need the IP address of that EMS. So that is would be, I think in Dublin, that is an input parameter to the controller. You're passing an IP address that should be used as part of the upgrade operation. I guess the IP address is fetched from ANI, or would be, at least in the future. Then you could actually have a few different options. Other controller itself does the lookup, or ESO would do the lookup and pass the IP address to the controller. So there are some details to look at what is the preferred option. I don't expect the PNF to change its IP address as part of the upgrade. It normally keeps its IP address.
I think ANI can already has the IP address, so that's nothing new. And yeah. I think it's and I think for the IP address, the EMS, I think there's this concept of the ESR object that can be used, hopefully, which is how ONAP, I think, models, and Jimmy might know more, but I think that's how it kind of models the external controller thing. If it needs to interact with an external controller, that's how I think ONAP models this box, I think.
Yeah, so that box will be considered, let's say for now, will be EMS, right?
Right.
On that right. One, external, right? That EMS code, we will go to the APC, wouldn't go to SDNC, right? Will APC versus Ansible server. Oh, so I didn't see, just wanted to confirm, right, with clarification within, mm-hmm. you know, what we use ONAP controller so far. We just specify as the ONAP controller as right. generic terms. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yep. All right. So let's see. Where are we? Okay. So Melanie and Tracy and I had been talking about some modeling alignment. I see Melanie's on the call, working with Son and other use cases. I haven't met again with Tracy recently, but one of the discussions was to try to align the... the all the different standards that's really defining and driving a lot of the modeling and stuff. So there's ISOMI and ETSI and 3GPP and ORAN, and they're all kind of going in their own way defining stuff. And I think that one of the things we were trying to do was to harmonize some of that. So, okay. So we gave a demo for this browser.
You know, I'll add to that.
Yeah.
Can you hear me then?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the status of the standards piece, but there was some discussion internally with adding in some gold standard, which probably mm-hmm. external people aren't as familiar with for 5G. You know, in terms of augmenting the data within the information model. So, you know, in terms of what's in releases this year to support like a 5G launch. Okay.
Right. And So should that be a separate topic? Maybe is there work with the modeling team, the platform information, the modeling subcommittee that we need to engage?
You know, that might be a good idea. I don't really know the status of it.
I'm on those calls every week. I can forward you the meeting maker I have for that, and maybe you can attend one of those and see if we need to, or you know, you can even raise it.
That would be cool. When? What day is it?
It meets every Monday and it meets every Tuesday. It's every Monday.
Okay, great.
At 8 a.m. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be out later this week.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So. Okay. Any last thoughts or any last comments before we close for today?
Beta, just wanted to update on ONAP as third-party operational domain manager. Atif has updated the use case in the conference, especially on the business driver side.
The third party. Sorry, I missed what you were just saying.
Third party operational domain manager. That is one of the use cases we are discussing with Ala on for release 6. Third party operational domain manager. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
So that is updated in line with the template that you were talking about.
Oh, great. Okay. And I think I think probably what you want to do is let me see. Did you edit these slides or what?
I think the last but second is one where Atif was updating. I did not realize that there are two links there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is same. Yeah. So the sequence diagrams and the business drivers are there. Mm-hmm. Currently, we are working on identifying the payload that could be there for catalog, pushing the catalog to SDC.
So what I would do, what I would suggest, and I can help you if you want, I can start this for you. But basically, this is a link. If you look on the bottom of my page here, it says it's wiki.onap.org download attachments, blah, 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 blah. So what I would do is actually create a page. And you can just do that. I can create a page for you. So do this. Go third party original domain manager like this, right? And then, you know, you can add in like the business drivers. I am just going to find the business driver template really quickly, hopefully. So it should be the bottom.
Ben, this is already done. If I have just sent this link. Oh, in the chat window. So it's already done for,
Okay.
If you just open this page, it has all the details. Okay.
I see. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, perfect. So what was not done then is you need to link. Let me see. Delete page. Okay. So what was not done is what you need to do is go to here and I would say edit this page because it's pointing to the wrong place. So this needs to be updated. Delete this and do that. Oh, it's already there. Okay. So let's delete this and does this go to the wiki page now? Yeah, okay, great. Okay, so I think what wasn't done was that there was an old link there that I followed. And now this goes to your wiki page, I think. So good. And then you can put the slides in the bottom of this thing if you want to, but
sure.
Yeah. Okay. So
one thing I wanted to check, is there any template or feed for EUAG discussion which we need to update? I think Atul was mentioning about some template that he had shared. Maybe I'll have to catch up with him offline.
Yeah, he dropped on the call, but So Ala had mentioned that he had touched base with a tool from the EUAG, and if you use this template, I think you're good. This business driver template for use cases, I think if you follow this, which I see here, that you should be good. This looks good. Yeah, perfect. Sure. Potential candidates for ring. Yeah, right. Yeah, perfect. No, this looks great. And this is the first time this use case is coming into existence, or are you building on top of R4? Or
no, this is the first time Telstra is trying to contribute to a particular use case, right? But definitely it will reuse the work that has already been done. So for example, external API today supports pulling the catalog from SDC. Here we need the capability to push the catalog. So we will be building on top of what has been developed already.
I see. Okay, great. Maybe you want to give a quick presentation at some point in one of these calls so that people have a better understanding of what this use case is about. Okay. I can talk to you about that offline. All right. Sure. Great. So we've reached the end of our time. Any last thoughts? There is one last thing I should add to the agenda really quick, which I didn't get a chance to go over, but I think it's kind of important, and I'll edit near the top so we can go over it next time. So there's a harmonization between the modeling subcommittee, the use case project teams, and the architecture subcommittee, that they're harmonizing this way of working that I've been working on, I volunteered to work on. So I'll give a presentation for that in an upcoming meeting. Maybe next meeting we'll spend some time on that, actually. I think that would be good. That actually will take at least half of the time. So let me just queue that up. So we'll talk about that next time. Okay, thank you everybody then for attending. We ran over a little bit, and have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
Stop the recording.